Thou shalt not commit adultery. What does this mean? We should fear and love God that we may lead a chaste and decent life in thought, word, and deed, and each love and honor his spouse. That is the goal, that we fear God lest we provoke him to anger, that we love God because of his boundless, steadfast love and for the sake of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, that we so fear and love God that we live a life accordingly, that we so fear and love God that we live a life of pure, chaste, decent thoughts, words, and deeds, that we so fear and love God that we honor the blessed gift of marriage, that we so fear and love God that husband and wife in a lifelong union love and honor each other. That is the goal. The Creator created Adam and Eve to cling to each other in a lifelong union and to become one flesh. And that is still the Creator's good design for the sons of Adam and the daughters of Eve, as C.S. Lewis puts it. And when we take this Creator's original design and intent seriously, we can only lament the present state of things. We live in a society that is going through a culture war over matters of sexuality and marriage. Over the past 10 years, the homosexual lobby has gained such strength that they now have a bill that passed the House and is before the Senate declaring homosexuality a civil right and declaring it a hate crime if you preach against it. Some public schools require textbooks that approve of homosexual couples, and they speak of two mommies or two daddies. And there is great confusion in our society over sexual identity. One of the current trends among young people is called gender bending. One day you feel male and you wear male clothes. The next day you feel female and you wear female clothes. They don't want to be put into a box. And in this Gnostic world, you are what you feel. Not only is our society deeply confused over matters of sexuality and marriage, our society is drowning in lust and immorality. The divorce rate is constantly going up. And I wonder if the statistics are any better for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Every movie and TV show has to have sex. Every commercial has to use sex to sell its product. And it's difficult to protect our children from pornography because pornography is supposedly protected by the First Amendment, didn't you know? We live in this cesspool of indecency that it almost tempts one to want to move and join the Amish. However, the Large Catechism reminds us that the Sixth Commandment not only calls us to attend to our own purity, but also to help our neighbor live a chaste and decent life and each love and honor his spouse. As the Large Catechism puts it, you are to defend, protect, and rescue your neighbors whenever they are in danger or need, and moreover, even aid and assist them so that they may retain their honor. Whenever you fail to do this, although you could prevent a wrong, or do not even lift a finger as if it were none of your business, you are just as guilty as the culprit who commits the act. In short, all are required both to live chastely themselves and also to help their neighbors do the same. Thus, God wants to guard and protect every husband or wife through this sixth commandment against anyone who would violate them. Moreover, the Large Catechism adds, parents and governmental authorities have the duty of so supervising the youth that they will be brought up with decency and respectability, and when they are grown, will be married honorably in the fear of God. Then God would add his blessing and grace so that they might have joy and happiness in their married life. The Sixth Commandment requires us to work towards civil righteousness in our country, also in terms of these issues, even though our country is currently conflicted over marriage and homosexuality. For the Sixth Commandment calls us to help the neighbor live a chaste and decent life, and each love and honor his spouse. Civil righteousness is good, it serves the common good. However, before God, It cannot justify. Before God, all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. Before God, there is no one righteous, no, not one. We can only lament how fiercely rebellious is the entire human race against its maker. We can only lament how thoroughly corrupt is our own human nature. We can only lament how each one of us has broken the sixth commandment. For as Jesus says in the Sermon of the Mount, the hearts of his followers should be so pure that they do not even look at another person with lustful intent. We can only lament the present state of ourselves. But there is another word that we hear from Scripture. God did not abandon us to our plight. On the contrary, out of his boundless steadfast love, he sent his only begotten Son into the world to save sinners, to save you and me. Jesus Christ, our Lord, was delivered up for our transgressions and raised for our justification. What does that mean? That means that God counted against the second Adam all of our impurities. And when he raised him from the dead, God acquitted our second Adam. And by justifying him, he justified us all. He was raised for our justification. So you and I stand before God righteous, not with our own righteousness, but with someone else's righteousness, clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the second Adam. Believe the gospel and receive its righteousness, its forgiveness by faith. And remember that you have been baptized into Christ and into his death. Through baptism, our old Adam was crucified so that we might walk in newness of life. Consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. And let us, as St. Paul exhorts us, let us present our members to God as instruments for righteousness. And let us serve the neighbor in love. And husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. And wives, willingly and gladly subordinate yourselves under your husband as the church is under Christ. And let us serve the neighbor in love. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.